This morning, go ahead and get your Bibles, if you would, please, and open them to Psalms 78. Psalm 78. It's not unusual in the Psalms to find the psalmist along with the Apostle Paul and Peter reminding people of Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Their refusal to go into the promised land, their wilderness wandering, all of that involved. So this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 78, a few verses, two or three verses, and start comparing ourselves with Israel itself. In Psalm 78, verse 19, yea, they spoke against God, and they said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, the waters gushed out, the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? And provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was angry. The New King James Version says, he heard this and he was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. Fire broke out of their midst, killed thousands. As I was reading this and thinking about it this week, I told the Lord yesterday, I really don't want to irritate you, much less make you mad.
Amen.
I don't want to irritate the Lord, much less make him angry. So we find out that God was angry because they were questioning him. When you question God, when you question his word, you're questioning his integrity, his truthfulness. You question his omniscience. You question his sovereignty. You're questioning him. Now the word of God tells us in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, has no body. He took on a body in order to come to earth to be his own sacrifice for sin in his son Jesus. But God is a spirit, the word of God says. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, what does it mean to worship him in spirit? What does it mean to worship him in truth? As we come through this, I want to take you back to Israel now and their deliverance. You see, here they are out in the wilderness, and they're whining and grumbling and moaning and grumbling and complaining. They're thirsty, and they're not trusting God to give them any water. And you recall that God had Moses speak to the rock, but Moses didn't just speak to the rock. Moses struck the rock, violating God's word, and God still gave them the water. But then Moses had to pay the price. He never gained entrance into the promised land. You recall how they went down into Egypt, and then as a process of time, Joseph dies, the Pharaoh who gave them favor died, and they were made slaves. Now they're in bondage. They're in bondage in Egypt. God sends Moses down to bring them out. And so he had to destroy the land, plague after plague after plague after plague, in order to humble Pharaoh enough to get them out. Now let's stop and think about you for a moment, me for a moment. We were born in bondage. We were born in bondage. We were born with a sin nature. Satan was our father. We were in the kingdom of darkness. And the only way we could come out of the kingdom of darkness is if God sent someone in as a deliverer to bring us out. That someone was Jesus, God in the flesh. So we parallel Israel in that sense. They came out and then God manifested his favor to them and his presence with them by opening the Red Sea. We have in recent months been told that archaeologists are now confirmed that the Bible is correct about the crossing of the Red Sea, because they have now found the remnants of chariots in the bottom of the Red Sea. Why would you have chariots in the middle of the Red Sea, except they were going by, and then they were, of course, overcome there? So we find out that he has opened the door, he's making the way, he brings them out, he gets them up to the point where he wants them to enter the land, and they won't enter the land. They sent spies in, 12 spies, 10 came back and said, "Great land, we can't take it." The other two said, "Great land, we can take it." But because of their unbelief, they were consigned to 40 years of wilderness wandering. And I'm saying to you today that so much of the church is in a spiritual wilderness wandering. And yet God was with them even in the wilderness. He was there as a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. He was there providing for them, protecting them. The same thing he's done for you. Who among us today, can stand up in this auditorium and say, "God has failed me"? Who among us can say God has not kept his word? But how many times have we, like Israel, not obeyed? How many times, like we, like Israel, have questioned God, doubted God? Unbelief. That's where they were. They forgot the bondage they were in Egypt. And they're out in the wilderness, and they're moaning and groaning and grumbling and complaining. And we look back at this verse right here. They spoke against God. Can God? Question. We doubt you, God. We doubt your ability. We doubt your word. Oh, yes, you said you were going to bring us out. Yes, you said you were going to take us to a land of promise. Yes, you said that you would defeat the enemies in the land. Yes, you said you would provide for us. And yes, you said you would protect us. But quite frankly, we don't believe you. We're out here in the wilderness. They said that, "Moses, we should have died in Egypt. At least we had meat to eat. We had the flesh pots there." They forgot the whips. They forgot the taskmasters. They forgot the bondage. And I fear that too many times we today do the same thing. I think that too many times we forget the bondage that we were in. We forget the miserable condition, the wretched, miserable condition that we were in before Jesus brought us out. And then we're going towards a life of promise. They were headed for the land of promise. We've been given a promise as to the life of promise. He has promised us in His Word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He has promised that every need will be supplied. Can anybody in here stand up and tell me there's a need you've had that He didn't supply? Can any of us do that? Has He kept His Word? Has He provided what was needed? He's never forsaken us, never left us. So we're a whole lot like they were. We find a lot of their traits and characteristics in us. Now they remembered, oh yeah, we remember the rock. We remember when we were thirsty, didn't have water. And we remember how, in verse 20, how the waters gushed out, the streams overflowed, but that was water. Can He give us bread? Can He give us bread? Can He provide fresh for His people? Can He give us bread and meat? Well, we know from the Word of God that He rained down manna, angels' food. They could gather so much per family, per day. They were not together more than that. We won't talk about dry quarts and measurements and all of that. We'll just say that what they said, that you get an omer for each person. And so they could go out and gather as much as was permitted for each individual in the family. Those who gathered more, some gathered less, depending on the number of people. But they were not to store it up. We get nervous if we don't have an extra supply in the house. We get nervous if we don't have our favorite dessert handy, or donuts, the right cereal, candy, whatever. We get nervous. And so some of them didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. They said, well, yeah, you know, He supplied today, but I'm not real sure He can make it tomorrow. So they would put up more than they were told to, and then they found out, they got in the morning, that it had worms in it. It was stinking. It had gone bad. Why? Because they didn't believe Him. They didn't believe God. You see, you do what you believe. Amen. You do what you believe. I tell the Lord, and I told Him again this morning, the reason I try my best to obey Your Word is because I believe Your Word. Amen. That's why I try to obey Your Word. I believe Your Word. I believe You. I got nowhere else to trust. Asked myself a week ago, I said, who do I trust? Who and what do I really, really trust? I trust nothing about our government. Nothing. I trust nothing about the news media. Nothing. And I thought, well, there are individuals I trust. There are individuals in here. I trust you explicitly. But you stop and think about who and what you really trust in life. Who? They didn't trust God. They didn't believe God. They disobeyed God's Word. You see, when you don't believe the Word of God, you will disobey the Word of God. When you believe the Word of God, you will seek to obey the Word of God because you want to please Him. Not out of fear, out of gratitude. out of love for who he is to you and for you and what he's done for you, what he brought you out of, the bondage, everything else. So now they're saying, well, yeah, he gave us some water when we were thirsty, but can he give us bread? He gave them bread. And after a while, they said, this isn't good enough. We're tired of this bread. We're just tired of this bread. What about meat? Can you give us some meat? You ever wonder why God puts up with us? Now, I'm going to put a connotation on this that maybe shouldn't be there. I don't know, because God is love. God is merciful. God is great. But you almost hear God saying, you want meat? I'll give you meat. You want meat? I'm going to give you some meat. So what does he do? He brings together this humongous flock of birds. He flies them over the camp and stops the heart. They drop dead right there, right in the middle of the camp. You wanted bread? I gave you bread. That didn't satisfy you. Nothing ever satisfies you. No matter what I do for you, you're still grumbling, mumbling, complaining. And no matter what I give you, you just want more. All right? You wanted more? Here it is. Meat. Now notice, he didn't cleanse them. He didn't pluck the feathers. He didn't wash them. He didn't cut them in pieces. They had to do that. But they had bread, they had meat. But notice what they said here, once again. Can he give, he gave us water, verse 20. He gave us water out of the rock. But can he give us bread? Well, he gave them bread. All right, we're tired of this bread. We're tired of the level of sustenance that you're giving us. We're tired at this level. We want meat. He gave you meat. So he gave them meat. Now verse 21. Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. New King James. He was furious. So fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel. When you look at Israel's past and you look at your own past, there's so much parallelism here, it's unreal. How we parallel their life, their deliverance, their provision, their protection, his presence. At night, you could get up and go look out the tent, as I've told you so many times, and there was that pillar of fire, his presence right in the camp. In the daytime, there was that cloud, his presence in the camp. You are never outside the presence of God. And let me put you on notice right now. In the next few minutes, I'm going to hit you with something that you better listen to and listen to carefully, because it is the solution to everything you're facing. It is a solution. You see, the problem is not on God's part. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When you parallel our walk with the Lord and their walk with the Lord, we find out that we are just exactly like they were. We're never quite fully satisfied. We're going to find something to murmur, grumble, and complain about. And in doing that, we're saying, you haven't been to me what I expected you to be to me, and you really haven't been to me all that I have the right to expect you to be to me. As long as you got a set of clothes to put on your back, set of shoes on your feet, as long as you've got couple of potatoes and some bread, you're good. Amen. I've been in homes where they didn't have that. See, the American, the average American family doesn't know what poverty really is. The average American family doesn't understand poverty. They've never been there. I've lived amongst people in poverty. I've worked among people in poverty. I've seen poverty firsthand. I'll never forget the day in India, which I've mentioned to you before, that I was in New Delhi, and I was with my Indian counterpart, and a beggar came up begging for money. And I didn't give him any money because I didn't really understand what he was saying at the time, but then I finally got the gist of it. And he started to walk off, and I said, he needs to get a job. My Indian counterpart said, would you give him a job? There are no jobs. What he eats, he has to beg for. See, we forget that. We forget that. So when we look at ourselves compared to Israel, we find a whole lot exactly just like they were. Now we go from here there. We have, I'm trying to get a very simple point across this morning. We have violated the same principles they did. We have failed to believe God. We have failed to trust God. And in failing to believe Him and trust Him, we've said you're wrong. I'm not real sure I can trust you, therefore I'm not. And how many of us really, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. That's a promise that we quote all the time. But notice the condition to fulfill that promise. If you abide in me, how many of us are abiding in Him? And my words abide in you. How many of us are really abiding in Him? And in how many of us is the Word really abiding in us? Then you shall ask what you will, and it shall be given to you. Now let me slow down for just a moment. Life is full of pain. Life is full of physical pain, mental pain, emotional pain, and spiritual pain. Nowhere in the Word of God are you exempted from pain. Florence was telling me this morning, at 96 years of age, she really doesn't have any pain. For that, she's thankful. She gives God the glory that she doesn't really suffer pain. I basically live a pain-free life. I really do. I basically live a pain-free life because of God. It's not no... What diet? I don't have a diet. I try to watch the old blood glucose levels, but I'm not saying it's nothing to me. It's nothing I do. It's what God does. Amen. Now, I'm saying, listen to me carefully now. The children of Israel out in the wilderness, He had provided, He had protected, He had delivered, He had released. He was up with them. He was with them every hour of every day of every night. He was leading. He was guiding. He was directing. And still, they murmured, grumbled, and complained. God does not like murmuring, grumbling, and complaining. You have no reason to murmur, grumble, and complain. What does the Word say? In everything give thanks. You say, whoa, come on. That's not, I mean, you don't really believe that. No, it's what the Word says. The Word says in everything to give thanks. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe one reason that the situation is prolonged is because you have not yet given Him thanks? Yes. Has it ever occurred to you that perhaps the situation is somewhat prolonged because you have not been thanking Him for it? As I mentioned Wednesday night, when something starts going amiss, one of the first things I have to ask myself is, if here's my position, here's exactly what I do, folks. When I feel an attack coming against me, I say to the Lord, in the name of Jesus, I resist, renounce, rebuke any and every work of Satan coming against me. Whether it's emotional, physical, spiritual, I don't care what it is. In the name of Christ Jesus, I renounce it. I resist it. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Satan, you have no, unless I give you legal right against me, you have no legal right against me. So I resist. But then I say this, Lord, if this is of you, if this is from you, I accept it. I thank you. I want to learn from it what you want me to learn. As I come through whatever I'm coming through right now, Lord, if this is of you, from you, and something you are permitting, maybe I gave the ground, I don't know. But I say to him, if this is something you are permitting, then I accept it. I receive it until it is finished. And I thank you for it. Because I know I need correction. Maybe you don't need correction, but I know I need correction. Now this is going to hurt. Wednesday night, I told you some of this is not pretty. But you've got people sitting in churches this morning all over America who are suffering some problem because the root of the problem has not yet been discovered and confessed and forsaken. Amen. And sometimes it's attitudinal. Sometimes it is name, put your own name on it. I'm not going to name yours for you. But you search out your heart and you say, what is it in my heart, in my mind, in my attitudes that is contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the character of Christ? Because Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he purges it, meaning he prunes it. Pruning is painful. I know I've been pruned. I am still being pruned. And all the pruning isn't through yet because all the pride's not out yet. But at least I acknowledge it. All the contentiousness is not out yet. All a lot of stuff is not totally out yet. And so from time to time, he has to remind me of that. But if I am sensitive to the Holy Spirit and I'm willing to acknowledge myself, wait a minute, this needs to be pruned out. Go ahead, Lord, prune it out. That hurts. But I'm saying to you this morning that we like them don't see. See, when they said, can he furnish a table in the wilderness? Yeah, he gave us water. Yes, you gave me that, Lord. And yes, you did that for me. And yes, you delivered me from that, Lord. And yes, he says, yes, but we still got some more that needs to be handled. We all got it. We all have it. Starting in this pulpit, each and every one of us have it. Now, once you realize, though, where he's brought you from and all he is to you, when you realize his word, you can face the future with confidence. You can get up every morning in the world saying, regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes down the pike of me today, my God, my Heavenly Father is on his throne. As a spirit, God is spirit. He permeates the entire universe. There's no place where he is not. So you can get up every day of the world knowing I can trust him, I can believe him, I can rely on him, and I can rest in him. And no matter what comes against me, I know that my God loves me, my Father loves me, and whatever he permits in my life is for my betterment.
Amen.
That's hard to come to grips with. That's hard to come to grips with. You have to understand that, see, they finally got to the promised land. They finally got there. But, oh, what a trip. What a trip it was. Time after time after time, God had to chasten them. That's called pruning. He had to chase the whole nation. He had to prune the whole nation. And then there were people within the nation that he had to prune, that he had to chastise. All of that was involved. You are not out of the wilderness yet, and you will not be out of the wilderness till you draw your last breath here and say, "Hello, glory." That is when you will be out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Now, he's given you a life of promise. See, my position is, everything God said he was going to do for me, I want it. Amen. Now, here's the condition that I've got to meet in order to get this. He says, meet this condition, you'll get that. So I say, okay, I'm going to understand this condition, and I'm going to try to meet this condition because I want that. Simple. Simple. You've still got enemies to face. Between now and the time you go to glory, you're going to face enemy after. And I'm talking about the spirit realm. Not only the physical realm, but in the spirit realm, you're going to face enemy after enemy after enemy. There will never be a day of your life that the enemy is not warring against your spirit, soul, and body. There will never be a day in your life he's not trying to discourage you, disappoint you, and cause you to doubt the goodness of God. He wants to seed you with unbelief. He is trying his best to destroy and steal your joy. I told you Wednesday night, he wants to steal your joy. He can only steal your joy if you let him steal your joy. Even when you're in pain, you can say, "Lord, I choose not to grumble, murmur, or complain. I choose, Lord, to love you. I choose, Lord, to believe you. I choose, Lord, to honor you." I so told two or three people this morning right here. And I mean this, folks. I'm walking the same path you're walking. We're all in this together. And sometimes you can only fall on your knees and all you can say is, "Jesus. Jesus. Jesus." Why? Because you don't know what else to say. You've prayed everything you know to pray. And all you can do is call out to Jesus. He hears it. He hears it. And you can hit your knees and say nothing but, "Jesus. Jesus. Jesus." Sometimes I just say, "Father. Father. Oh, Father. Father, Father." He hears the prayer. You see, he knows what you're trying to express that you're really having trouble expressing. He understands it. So from now you get to glory, you're going to be in a battle. Now you can do one or two things. You can decide, okay, I'm not going to do what Israel did. I'm going to do this thing differently. The land of promise is yet before you. Now turn to somebody and say, "I got to hear this." Listen to me carefully. The only limit on the power of God and the provision of God is your unbelief. That is the only limitation. The only limitation on the power of God and the provision of God is your unbelief, my unbelief. So what the Word teaches us very carefully will prove my point. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. And when he, that's Jesus, had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue. So they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? His sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, in his own house. Now he did not many mighty works there because of what? Because of what? He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And when the people complained in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, I'm jumping ahead of you now. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of them, even to the outskirts of the camp. About three or four comments and I'm through. I want to remind you once again, the only barrier to God's provision and protection in your life is your unbelief. True of me. All right, now we come to this. How do I believe? How do I come to believe? God doesn't like unbelief. You see, when you don't believe, you're questioning God. You're accusing God. You're saying to God, you're really not all that I thought you were. You're really not as omniscient, omnipotent as I thought you were. So you have to understand, God does not like unbelief. God does not like mumbling, grumbling, and complaining. And we keep shooting ourselves in the foot spiritually by doing everything he doesn't want us to do. Okay, I'm going to tell you how to develop belief now, okay? Listen to me carefully. I go to that father with the boy who had the demon since he was a kid. The disciples were trying to cast the demon out. Folks, if I didn't believe, I'm staking my life, my soul, on what I'm about to say to you now. I believe God. I believe his word. I believe that Jesus was in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I believe that he was his own sacrifice for sin on the cross. I believe he took my sins upon himself and put those sins to death in himself. I believe he came out of that tomb. I believe in the resurrection. I believe he's ascended back into glory. I believe he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. I believe he's making intercession for me right now. Why? Because the Word says so. So, when I look at this entire thing, even Jesus could not perform many mighty works because of their unbelief. He is God in the flesh. What was blocking his performing the works? Their unbelief. How do you develop belief? I don't know of any other way to do it than this. This is where I'm at. If you can improve on it, let me know. But I look in the scriptures, and I see where Jesus is going to cast the demon out of that child. How long has this been in him? Since he was potty-othin'. How in the world does a demon get to an infant? Somewhere in the bloodline. How long ago has this been in him? Since he was potty-oathing, since he was an infant. Sometimes it tries to cast him to the fire, destroy him. And all the time, here's a boy with a demon. And then the man says, if you can help us, if you could do anything. Here was a desperate father. A desperate father. If you can do anything, please help us. What did Jesus say? If I can do anything? If you can believe. If you can believe. What did he say? I believe. Help my unbelief. Now slow down. I'm closing, so listen to me. Jesus said, you could do nothing apart from me. Jesus said, you can do nothing apart from me. Does that mean I cannot believe apart from him? Listen to me carefully. That father said, Lord, I believe. I believe, but my belief system is not yet perfect. I want to believe more. I want to believe the way you want me to believe. Because I need your help. I want my son set free. I can't do it on my own. So you can go to Jesus. And I pray this, folks, several times a week, many weeks. I go to God and I say, Father, the Word of God says I'm to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I am willing to do that, but I need to be enabled and empowered to do that. I can't do it on my own. I can't conjure up that kind of faith. I can't just work up that kind of belief system. I need help. But if you will enable me and empower me to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'm willing. There it is. I am willing to love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then you tell me to love my neighbors myself. Am I willing to love my neighbor as myself? You say, you don't know who some of my neighbors are. Doesn't matter. He reduced the whole thing down to two points. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And to the degree that we're in opposition to the Word of God, to that degree, we're suffering loss. They asked the question, can God? I respond, God can. They asked the question, can God? My answer is, God can. God said to Jeremiah, is anything too hard? Anything too hard for me? Here's what I want you to walk out of here with this morning. I want you to walk out of here saying to yourself, this is going to hurt. But I'm going to acknowledge every attitude I have that is unchristlike. I'm going to confess it as sin. And I won't get the victory the first time I pray it, but I'm going to stay at it. I am going to stay at it. Enabled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, I am going to get the victory in this area of my life. And I'm going to tell him, I can't develop this belief system. I don't know how to believe. You've got to enable me and empower me to believe. So I want you to walk out of here this morning from this point on saying to the Lord, I'm willing to believe. I want to believe. But you have to enable me and empower me to believe. But then you come to this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means more than just a little morning devotion. It means soaking your spirit in the Word of God. It means humbling yourself before Him and being dead level honest with Him. Gut out! I do that. I want you to do that. And then what I expect. You see, the only barrier to God's power and God's provision in your life, whatever it is you need, whatever it is you need, the only barrier, the only obstacle is your unbelief. My unbelief. Now, I've got to search out my heart, and I've got to find anything and everything that's in my heart that he would have to say, well, no, not jealous. Let's deal with this, and let's deal with this, and let's deal with that. And as you deal with these things progressively, I will introduce the progressive relief. I want the best for you. I want the very best for you. I want to hear more like that testimony. I want to see more of what we saw in Xenia this morning. I want to see and hear more and more of that in our little handful of people. And I want you joining me. What I'm preaching to you, I try to live, practice it every day of the world. And you'd be surprised at times I want to say something, but I say, no, just be quiet, Martin. I want to respond, I want to react. I'm going to close with this, give you an idea of what I'm talking about. The condos we live in are being rebuilt. I mean rebuilt. The initial contractor did not live up to all the specifications. They went to court, they won, and so now the units are being totally rebuilt. Building by building by building. Well, they've been doing the other building, now they got to our building. And what they're doing is they're taking everything out of the outside wall, the plywood, the concrete, the stucco, the plywood, the insulation, took everything out right up to the backside of the interior wall of every unit. The only thing you had between you and everything else was your inside wall. It's been a horrendous process. It's eat on Sharon a lot more than it has on me because she crosses every T and dots every I and puts everything in its place and everything, you know, that's the way she is. Me, I kind of aggravates me, but I ain't going to cuss. So we come through it. But they've got our part finished now for the most part. 99.9% finished. The thing lacking was for seven months I haven't access to my balconies. I wanted my balconies. That's where I spend a lot of time with the Lord. So they told us Wednesday and Thursday it'd be done. We arranged our schedule, didn't happen. Friday for sure, didn't happen. Tight jaws. And there was a time I knew how to handle that. But I told Sharon, I said, I'm going to go talk to the foreman. So I prayed while I was walking out to see the foreman. I saw him. And I said, Jose, I said, we were told Thursday you'd be in to do such and such. It didn't happen. Friday or Wednesday we were told this would happen. It didn't happen. We arranged our schedule, and Thursday it didn't happen. Today's Friday, it didn't happen. And I said, I've got a man coming Monday to install a couple of fans on the balconies. So your people are going to have to work around the man I've scheduled because I can't cancel him out. Jose looks at me and says, just for you, I fix yours today. Amen. I went back and I told Sharon they're going to fix it today. Within about a couple of hours up there, they were fixing it. Had the whole thing finished by 2 or 3 o'clock that afternoon. So we got our whole house back to you now. Amen. So, but I could have walked and said, hey, Jose, come here, slick. Come here, sport. But no. So I walked away saying, thank you, Lord. I've been using my balcony now for the last 2 or 3 days just praising God for it. Amen. He'll do the same thing for you. Say with me, God is good.
God is good.
Now, what's the only barrier between his protection and his provision for you?
Unbelief.
Why don't you start up and say, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. Why don't you say, Lord, help me with my unbelief. That's a proper prayer. That's what the Father said. He said, I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. I've got a little belief. Help me believe the way you want me to believe. It's okay to pray that. Amen. Father, I've got some belief. I need more belief. Help me develop that belief. Amen?
Amen. Joining us today here on Challenge, and in closing out the broadcast today, I want to ask those of you who are prayer warriors, your intercessors, you have the heart for it, you have the spirit for it, you have the anointing for it. I'm going to ask you to join me in praying for this nation, the church, and the church in the world. And let's not be squeamish. Let's not be hesitant and asking God to do what needs to be done. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to agree with me as I pray. And then if the Holy Spirit would lead you, take these things into your own prayer closet on a daily basis. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, that I have access to your throne. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that has cleansed me from all of my sin. I want to thank you that you saved my soul, adopted me into your family, made me your child, made me a believer priest and a warrior in the kingdom of God. And Father God, I come before your throne today in the holy and precious name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I speak frustration, strife, division, and failure on the entire satanic agenda that Satan is bringing against the United States of America and the world today. And I am asking you, my Lord and my God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to move in such way in the body of Christ that the true blood-bought, blood-washed body of Christ will take their position of authority in Christ Jesus. They will raise up in this hour, in this day, in the life of the nations of the world, and that they will give themselves to intercessory prayer on behalf of the kingdom of God. Father, we need a cleansing. We need a cleansing of the church. We need a move of the Spirit of God in the religious community, burning out the dross. And then, Father, taking those who are truly, truly yours, and those who are of the elect, those that you have known from eternity past would at some point in time receive Christ Jesus as their Savior. We're asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit in the nations of the world, drawing them to yourself through Christ Jesus, and then, Father, raise them up as ambassadors for Christ. Raise them up as warriors on behalf of the kingdom of God. Father, we're asking you to purge, purify, and refine the expression of the government of Antichrist in the nations of the world. We're asking you to eliminate them. We're asking you to simply suppress them to the point they can have no influence whatever in the nations of the world. Father God, we need a move of your Holy Spirit. We need a move of your Holy Spirit, and I am asking you, starting in the church, starting in that expression of the body of Christ that is truly, Father, the body of Christ, that part of the world's religious system that is truly the body of Christ, those born again, those who have been born again, received in Christ, believed in Christ, been born again, I am asking you, my Lord and my God, to move in their hearts, stir our hearts to fervency, to effectiveness in intercessory prayer. And Father, draw forth from us those prayers that you want to hear that will diminish the kingdom of darkness, increase the kingdom of light, and advance the kingdom of God on earth today. And this we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thanks for joining us today on Challenge. Keep praying, prayer warriors.
Keep praying.